Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, welcome to The Winds of Change. My name is David Carollo, and I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony. Always good to be on the show. And it is noon. Let's start, please, with the Angelus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary,
and she conceived of the Holy Spirit.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, a handmaid of the Lord.
Be it done to me according to thy word.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh,
and dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. So welcome today on a special feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. I've been a lay Carmelite for many years, and it is a very special time, a special feast day. Of course, I am the executive director of the World Apostate of Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army. And for those of you familiar with the apparitions of Fatima, you remember on October 13th of 1917, the date of the miracle of the sun, Our Lady did appear as Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and she gave us this reinforcement that of the spirituality, the Carmelite spirituality. Of course, that was always special to Sister Lucia, who initially became a Dorothean sister, but eventually moved in and spent the most of her adult life in the Carmelite monastery, Carmelite convent in Coimbra, Portugal. She spent 57 years there. And so her spirituality was truly Carmelite, as was truly the same. The message of Fatima is very tied in. The brown scapular is a big part of the devotion of the Carmel. And Sister Lucia once said that the rosary and the scapular are inseparable, that they are important to as a devotion, that you wear the armor, that you wear the garment of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. But the history of the Carmelite order goes way, way back. It actually, to a great degree, predates Christianity. Of course, it's the legacy of Elijah and Mount Carmel and his sacrifices to God. And when he took on the prophets of Baal, and they were bringing their sacrifices, which weren't being accepted. And it's interesting, we talk about in these days of, you know, how do we deal with a world that's very pagan? And of course, we have to be there. But you know, you have to be strong in what you're doing, because Elijah was not weak, and he was not docile when it came to dealing with these false prophets. You know, he virtually mocked them. He kept telling, "Well, where's your God? Where's your God? Come on, come on." And then, of course, when he gave his sacrifice, it was accepted. So I think that's what we have to be, kind of like Elijah in these days, when the Catholic faith, our Christian faith, our Catholic faith, which has its heritage, of course, you know, in these prophets, these Old Testament prophets, they had to be strong. We have to be strong in what we're saying, because our message is not being heard out there, maybe because we're not speaking loud enough. I think we have to stand up. We have to stand witness to the faith every time we can, every chance we get. And And that's on our daily work. That's our daily duty. So the Fatima message is about fulfilling your daily duty, whether you are a religious or a priest or a lay person, if you're a family person, a single person. We all have a mission in life, a mission that is set to bring us to salvation, to eternity. And that's what the Fatima message says, live your daily duty. So anyway, but you know, it's a great time to be a part of a mission like we have. Of course, the Blue Army, the World Apostle of Fatima, was founded in 1947, founded as the Blue Army of Prayer to counter the Red Army of Atheistic Communism. It was 30 years after the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. And what was being done, Europe coming off of two world wars, was a shambles, and our apostolate was founded by Monsignor Colgan and John Hafford, who put together again this Blue Army of Prayer to counter that Red Army of Atheistic Communism, which had now, as the Cold War was beginning, the prophecies of Fatima were being seen. You know, if my requests are honored, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, bringing wars and persecutions. And you know, the Holy Father would have much to suffer. Well, look what happened. The history of this 20th century, primarily into the 21st, speaks for itself. And yes, maybe it's not the communism of Russia, but now, you know, look at China. It is probably the perfection of communism, if you, not to say it's perfected, but it was, they really spread even farther. So, and look at our own country. Look at the secularism, because the essence of communism was truly secularism, the humanism, and this is what we're at today. And we as a country, you know, we're very guilty, we're very materialistic, and we have exported a lot of evil to the world through our media and so many things. But we've also done many great things, and I think apostolates like ours, I think, are a big part of that. So anyway, that's the mission of the Catholic Church. There's nothing came out of Fatima that was not in the... that you can't find in the Gospels. It's all there. It's just, maybe it's just how the message is. It's a message of warning and a message of hope. So on a day like this, I think we should remember Our Lady of Mount Carmel, very, very special. The Carmelite Order, I know my first trip to the Holy Land was in 1982, and I traveled there with a group with Father Howard Rafferty, who was the superior of the Carmelites in Darien, Illinois. And it was a great. We actually attended a conference in Haifa at near Mount Carmel, and it really impressed me. I really think it was because it's a place that had such roots in the Old Testament, had come to the New Testament, and it shows you in many ways the ties that truly, you know, God has a string of events to tie together. And I know because of the separation that occurred with our Jewish brethren, you know, obviously as a result of Christianity, remember that the first Christians were mostly Jews, primarily Jews. And so, you know, I think because they understood the heritage that was given to them throughout the years with prophets like Elijah, of course, you know, through Moses, Abraham. Abraham is our father in faith. We say that all the time, and he truly is. And so, we are the next generation. And I think when the unity comes eventually, hopefully first we'll see the unity of Christianity once again. And then I think it will lead to a unity of all people. God wants the unity. And so I always cringe a little bit when people start talking about the end times. They think we're in the end times right now. I don't know if I quite agree with that. You know, I mean, the end times, I think, started when Christ died. I think, and they're going to go on. But, you know, whether we'll live to the end of the world or it'll be many years after us, none of us know. But we do know that we are people of God, and we have to live. And we do follow the prescription given to us by Our Lady. Our Lady of Fatima particularly is obviously the apostolate and the mission that we have, that I have, and people are in this with me. And because I think we understand the devotion to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart, what she's teaching us is to become like her and, you know, be that light to the world. We have to be a light to the world. So that's what we do as an apostolate here. And of course, being a Chicagoan for many years, now I'm located mostly in New Jersey, where we run the World Apostolate of Fatima, the Blue Army Shrine in Western New Jersey. Many big events. I know I was on a show yesterday and I did mention some of the great events we had just in this past week. But for those who weren't here, we sponsored a beautiful weekend of Eucharistic reparation, and we had two Chicagoans out there with us. Bishop Joseph Perry was there, and he's always so Eucharistically oriented. It was a beautiful, beautiful time to have His Excellency here. And Father Joshua Caswell from St. John Cantius also came out here, and they helped with the weekend of Eucharistic reparation. And then we culminated on Tuesday, the July 13th, which is the apparition of, the anniversary of the Assumption of Fatima. And His Eminence Cardinal Burke was here as our celebrant for the Mass. So it was just a very beautiful few days, tiring for all, but well worth it. So our mission goes on, and just as the mission of the faith goes on. And I always thank Father Anthony for inviting me to be part of this program, to fill in for him as he goes along. He's done such a great job both here at St. Stankoska Parish, and of course the Chapel of Divine, the Sanctuary of Divine Mercy, which is a real oasis in the city. And I know I've mentioned this before, but I know when I drive down the Kennedy Expressway, it's almost like my car pulls off at Division Street just to pay a quick visit to the church, where we do have perpetual adoration and all. So today I'm actually joined by one of my associates, Patrick Sabat, is with us. Patrick wears many hats with our apostolate. He's very much our technical guy. He does a lot of our production work, which is going out and being seen on a lot of networks and a lot of our social media as well as our other media. And but he still serves as the custodian, the head custodian for our Pilgrim Virgin Statue program. And there is a after a year or more of deprivation, we are back in the churches. We've had some really wonderful visitations. Of course, you see Our Lady's Chariot, as we like to call it. That's the motorhome that's with that beautiful wrap on there that is traveling the country, always has. We've been to 48 states with that. We couldn't quite make it to Alaska or Hawaii. We had to fly the statue to Alaska and Hawaii, but the contiguous 48, that vehicle and its predecessor vehicle, they have seen, they've been to many places. And that's why we started with our tour for peace in 2016, because the apparitions of Fatima, the anniversary, the 100th anniversary, was with the, in 2016, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of the apparitions of the Angel of Peace. And then in 2017, of course, the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. And in that time, we did the tour for peace around the country. Our goal was 100 dioceses in 100 weeks. And
100 years anniversary.
100 years anniversary, 100 dioceses in 100 weeks over the 2 years. And I think we ended up with 140, was it, Patrick, I believe?
Yes, we have, our goal was 100. And then we finish off with, I think it was about 145. And then the next year, we didn't stop. So
yeah,
we finish off with 165 towards the end of 2018.
Right. So that's of 195, I believe, dioceses.
Yeah, we only have 198 in the United States. But now we are in the state of Louisiana, continuing on with the journey. We didn't stop. Our apostolate, like Dave, our executive director here, mentioned, our apostolate has been founded back in the 1940s. And so the mission of bringing Our Lady's message of hope and peace to the world hasn't stopped. And we are here continuing on with our mission. So Dave, thank you for having me here.
Glad you're here today, Patrick.
We join you for the Winds of Change. And of course, Father Anthony, whom I met also several times. Actually, we brought the statue there probably a couple of times. In the last 5 years or so.
Yes.
So we are really happy to bring Our Lady's International Pilgrim Statue in the Chicagoland.
Well, and that statue really predates our apostolate. Our founder brought that statue from Fatima, 1946, 47, it was brought over. And that's when the apostolate started and then visited 100 countries, I think it's been. How many countries has it visited?
More than 100 countries. Yeah, now the countries has been split to two, for example, in the Yugoslavia and
right.
Slovakia.
Right, so we got to go back.
Know, more countries, we could go back there. Yes, but yes, definitely the statue is very historic, as well as our apostolate. And, you know, like you mentioned, tied into devotion to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. You know,
yeah, it's very special.
You know, very special devotion to Our Lady. And
sure.
Of course, like you said, Rosary. I think it was Father Rafferty who interviewed Sister Lucia.
He did. He interviewed Sister Lucia.
Yeah, he said, Lucia said that the Rosary and the scapular are inseparable.
Yeah, you're very, very right.
I think that's where it came from during his interview. So.
So great, great. Well, I want to continue on that subject, Patrick. We're going to have to take a break here, and when we come back, I'd like to talk about where the program is now post-COVID. Let's hope it's post-COVID. We think it is, and then where we're going in the future. What our vision? I mean, our media work, everything we're doing. We'll talk when we come back. So this is David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And I'm having a studio today, Patrick Sabat, who is our technical. You know, we wear a lot of hats in this apostolate. So he leads our custodial staff. He's the head custodian for the Pilgrim Virgin Statue program, but also is our technical whiz who does our production work. And we've expanded a lot in that in this COVID time. I think like everybody got a little more tech savvy. But I do believe that I think we were pretty much on a roll before that. Thank God. I know when all of these parishes had to start streaming their masses, we had 5 years of streaming our mass daily. So we were a little ahead of the game, and we were fortunate to have that, to be honest with you. But we do a lot of production work, and it's out and it's all available. You go on bluearmy.com and you can navigate your way to a lot of the resources that we have, both written and video and audio. So hopefully you'll do that and be and keep up with what we're doing. The Blue Army Pledge is something that's been here since 1947. It's the pledge that was worked out with Sister Lucia when our founder met with her and asked her, what does Our Lady want? And she said she wants us to become holy. And this is the way to do it. The rosary and our devotions are a big avenue to that holiness. But I do believe that we need to, we have to work on it. I mean, you know, St. Paul said we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And I think there is something to be said for that. Now, you know, but that's not to say that we need to be pessimistic. We need to be very optimistic. And I think that's what our goal is. Join the apostolate. That's what you look at. Say yes to Our Lady. That's what it's about. Just say yes. Just like Jacinta said yes, and Francisco and Lucia said yes to Our Lady. Are you willing to offer your lives in prayer and reparation for the conversion of sinners? Yes, we are. When Our Lady was asked by the angel Gabriel, you know, are you willing? Yes. You know, that's what it's about. God likes that word yes. He likes for us to follow up with that word yes. So anyway, back to what we were talking about, Patrick. You know, our statue program, again, we really had so much success in 16, 17, and a good part of 2018. And even 19, we moved pretty long. And then the bottom fell out in March of 2020, as it did for everybody. And we were furloughed for quite a long time. Yeah. But I get, you know, you came back pretty much with that statue tour in Texas a few months back.
Yes. You know, I always say the statue has not stopped traveling since 1947 until COVID hit.
Until COVID put a stop to it.
But then we were praying about it. You know, of course, we were ready for our media production and, you know, that kind of a break. What we, you know, kind of launched us into our, you know, more of what we were doing. But as far as the statue program is concerned, it opened up. The moment Texas is open up, you know, I got a call from Texas. From Texans and wanting to coordinate. And I said at the time, you know, it depends on the prohibitions, restrictions, what have you, from the county, from the state. And I told them, let's pray about it. But within 24 hours when we were having that conversation, the state of Texas opened up and suddenly we were there doing our tour. And, you know, a couple of parishes for the first 2 days, we were swamped with thousands and thousands of people. We were having the procession and it was a great start because people were, you know, so hungry for the faith and for the devotions to Our Lady. And it really put us on the spot again where, you know, we can go now with, you know, practice our faith and practice our devotion and receive the Holy Communion, receive the sacraments, and be with others, you know, like-minded people, the spiritual sons and daughters of Our Lady of Fatima.
Well, you know, the work of our apostolate has been to bring Fatima to the people, and of course the people to Fatima. We own Domus Pacis, our hotel retreat center in Fatima, Portugal, which, to be honest with you, is hurting badly right now, like everything in the travel industry is. But we're holding our own, and I think we'll come out on the other side of this healthy, we hope. And but it's a difficult time. There's no doubt about it. You know, but this is the idea to bring people to Our Lady, You know, more importantly, you know, many people, most people will never be able to travel overseas and go. You know, at least not like maybe going forward. Who knows? But I do think that, you know, we're bringing the message of Fatima to them, and bringing a message of Fatima, you're bringing the Catholic faith to them. That's what it is. People are very uncatechized today. We find that out, you know, when I know 74 years ago when our founders and initial members of the apostolate were bringing the message to people, they would say, well, start praying the rosary in Our Father. You know, well, everybody knew the prayers. Everybody just had maybe a little help in how to put the rosary together. Unfortunately, there are people who don't even know how to say the basic prayers anymore, and it's very sad. And I've spoken with many priests about this, and there's a real sadness that the lack of catechization has just been. It's devastating, and it is the root problem. I mean, it is. You know, we as a church, and when I say the church, I don't necessarily mean just clergy, but we in the church, we Catholics and all, we have not presented our faith properly.
That's so true. Yeah. You know, every time I think about, you know, going out with a statue and producing, broadcasting media content for everybody, you know, Our Lady said at Fatima, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to Her Immaculate Heart. And this is what we do with our broadcasting, with our production work, you know, with the media. we gotta utilize this to, you know, like when Prophet Elijah was fighting all the, you know, the false worship of false gods, and it's in a way it's a very similar situation that we're in. A lot of people are, you know, forgetting God. You know, it's the atheistic, communistic. You know, this is a kind of a revolution we're fighting, and we have to put it out there. We have to establish devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You know, even by means of, you know, our statute, it's an opportunity for us, you know, to pray the rosary, to, you know, for the Eucharistic reparation and devotion. You know, that's why in all of our statute tours, in all of the parishes we visit, we offer scapular enrollment.
Yes, we do.
You know, we pray the rosary, we have the scapular enrollment, that we become part of the confraternity of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which is part of what we do as part of Our Lady's Blue Army, the World Apostolate of Fatima. So that's our constant invitation to people. You know, even our social media, it's, we're not selling you anything. We're not packaging it in a, you know, it's sugarcoating anything. It's the truth. It's the gospel. Like Dave mentioned in the early part of the program, you know, Our Lady doesn't teach us anything new. It is a reminder of what Christ already taught us, you know.
She shows us how to live it.
Yes, that's what she does. Exactly. Yes.
And that's really what is so special about, you know, the Fatima message, the Fatima devotions, and they do vary from other Marian apparitions, is that it's a devotion based on the Immaculate Heart of Mary and becoming part of her Immaculate Heart. Because this is how we understand, we come, you know, she comes to us as the person who's lived it perfectly. Mm-hmm. Okay? So imitate me is what she's saying, you know.
At the same time, when Mary asks us to do something, you know, talking about the Immaculate Heart of Mary, talking about hope for the world, talking about Mary's apparition of Fatima, it's very concrete. It's not something like coming from a theology professor. It comes from our mother. You know, when she spoke to Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia, she was speaking as a catechist. You know,
exactly.
We're talking about, you know, to catechize here. That's exactly the message of Fatima. You know, to bring them to the church, to catechize them, to teach, you know, to learn from our mother. You know, Jesus, definitely learned from his mother. If Mary's good enough for our Lord, you know, I think she's good enough for me to learn from.
Exactly. I think that's what, you know, we all follow the prescription of St. Louis de Montfort. Yeah. You know, I mean, he shows you what Marian devotion is all about. You know, true devotion. I mean, when you give everything to Mary, you know,
it's a service. Total consecration.
Total consecration. And it really, it's like taking a weight off your shoulders. Stop worrying about things. She'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. She'll, you know, that doesn't mean you're going to have an easy life necessarily. But you can have a life with understanding. When you do have trials and difficulties, you understand what they're all about. Mm-hmm. She helps you to understand that. I mean, she certainly did not live a life without trials. My goodness, you know. Think about that, but she—it's how she lived it, how she handled it. You know, when you know, in the many difficulties, you know, flight to Egypt, the finding of Jesus in the temple, losing him for 3 days. I mean, of course, then the Passion. I mean, how can you, you know, can you imagine what that was like for anybody? But understanding, you know, she always understood the mission. And I think that's where we have to be when we stand up. We have to stand up for our faith. We have to be out there. To, as I said, you know, again, you know, Elijah did not just say, you know, gee, you nice people, this wasn't, you know, let me show you what's right. No, he mocked them and showed them. We have to mock the society we're in today and say to them, you know, say to the world, what you're giving is garbage. We have the truth, okay?
Yeah.
Do it politely, do it as nicely as you can, but be stern. I mean, because you have the truth. You know, we have the key to salvation. My goodness, you know, we can't just pretend it's just as good, only as good as something else, because it's not.
Okay? Yeah, that's true, because it's a battle, you know. I mentioned it's a revolution. We have to fight it, because if we don't, we will lose it, you know.
Yes.
Of course, our Lord, Our Lady has already won the war, you know, and Our Lady promised in the end her Immaculate Heart will triumph.
Yeah.
But this is our battle. We have to fight it. And we have, like Elijah, we have to fight it. Elijah suffered through a lot of things also, but he stood and he was being, you know, made aware of his nothingness and his weakness and his imperfections. And we can do the same. You would say, oh, I'm just a, you know, I'm just a, an old lady. I'm just a poor boy. I'm so young. I can't do any of this. But we can, you know, we can fight it in our own, like, you know, Dave mentioned, in our own vocation, to sanctify our daily duties, wherever the state of life you're in. It doesn't matter if you're not a priest or not a religious sister. You know, if you're a husband, if you're a wife, you're a teacher, you're a farmer, you're an engineer. You know, that's the state of life we're talking about, to sanctify our daily duties. That's what Our Lady is asking of us. Like I said, you know, she is a mother. You know, mothers, you would not give a task to your children that you know that they wouldn't do. I wouldn't task my 7-year-old daughter to change the light bulb for me, you know. At least my wife wouldn't do that. That's Our Lady, you know. It's very concrete. Like I said, it's not a theological three C's that she was asking of us. The basic things, what you can offer, and offer it for God's greater glory, for the sanctification of our daily duties, in reparation for the sins of the world, for our own sins, you know. And we have to stand up and fight this battle, fight this as much as we can.
Yeah, we have to be that light to the world. That's what it truly is. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, absolutely. We have to take another break here, but when we come back, I'd like to kind of follow up on where we're going now in this next, you know, now that, again, things are opened up and what's on the agenda, how you see it playing out, both with our media work as well as our statue tours. So I'm David Carollo, sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
New from EWTN Publishing, Living the Scriptures by Mother Angelica is a collection of some of Mother Angelica's best on-air presentations and extemporaneous meditations. You will discover that Scripture is not a complicated puzzle meant for pensive biblical scholars, but a divine guide for our everyday spiritual life. And The House Was Filled with the Fragrance of the Perfume by Cardinal Fernando Filoni, the Grand Master of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem, reflects on the life, the beliefs, the values, and the choices for a knight and a dame. Living the Scriptures and The House Was Filled with the Fragrance of the Perfume. Available now at EWTNRC.com. By Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And I was sitting here having a conversation with Patrick Sabat, who, of course, is my associate here, who works for us here at the World Apostolate of Fatima. And we were talking about, you know, how, you know, our statue visitations, where they go, not just the statue, but how the apostolate in general, you know, go online, find that, come to BlueArmy.com. Find that pledge, the pledge that was formulated by Sister Lucia herself. You know, pray the rosary, live according to your daily life, wear the brown scapular, try, you know, do your best to fulfill the first Saturday's devotion. Our Lady asked that we make on the 5 first Saturdays consecutively to receive communion, confession, and to pray the rosary. And I love the most beautiful part of that devotion. And then, keep me company, she said, for 15 minutes while meditating on the other mysteries of the rosary. She didn't say just meditate on the rosary. keep me company, because that's what she, you know, as a mother, that's what she wants. Keep her company. Get in the company of Mary. Get in that Immaculate Heart and what it was like for her during her life and the passion that she lived with her son. Okay, you know, once we do that, we understand salvation. I think then we move to that idea of real true contrition, where we want to please God, is what she wants to do, you know. And we were talking earlier, Patrick, about, you know, the effect this has. You know, we love our vehicles, our motorhomes, and they have the beautiful wrap on there. Well, we had the vehicle parked at the Shrine in New Jersey, and then we took some moves around into New York, Pennsylvania, and other places during COVID to try to kind of bring the bring Our Lady's message at least visually to certain places. And of course, Father joined us with the Blessed Sacrament. And we did this here. We did it in the Midwest.
In Chicago. We were in downtown Chicago.
We did it in New Jersey. We did it in Chicago. Yeah. And we did it on Patrick, with Father Mitch. Four states: Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and you went to Michigan, and Pennsylvania. The shrine is located about 35 miles from Washington's Crossing, which is historic. Right where they left when they crossed the Delaware River on Christmas Day in 1776. There's a beautiful museum. They do a great, if you're ever out there, they do a really beautiful reenactment every year on Christmas Day of that crossing in full garb and all. And we went there and just prayed, prayed for our country. I think it was so important right by there. But when we went to New York, something was very interesting. We were, we talk about people seeing and feeling it. And we were, I was somewhere in New York, maybe on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, I'm not quite sure exactly. We got a call from the office where a man called up and he saw us, he was behind us, around us, we don't know exactly where. And he was in tears. And he said, we need Our Lady more than ever now. Okay, you know, and it was really kind of beautiful. So that, you know, he saw that here we were, we had the vehicle with the statue, we had the Blessed Sacrament with us as we were traveling. And it was and Father was so helpful with that all the time here, they're there at the shrine in New Jersey. And I thought that it really kind of talks about the message of Fatima, because the message of Fatima obviously began in 1916 with the Eucharist, with devotion to the Eucharist through the Angel of Peace. And, you know, it's inseparable. Our Lady and her son are inseparable. And that's why when you see these desecrations that have gone on, I read an account of a black mass. And what were the two things that occurred? They desecrated the Blessed Sacrament, and they desecrated a statue of Our Lady. It's inseparable. Our Lady and our Lord are inseparable. When we honor them, they're honored together. And when we offend them, they're offended together. And this is the sad state of our world. But it just goes to show you that the intricate relationship between the Blessed Mother and her Divine Son. And this is why we have to follow her. She's leading us to Him and leading us to the salvation that He brought.
It's a beautiful insight, Dave, you know, when we honor them together. When you dishonor them, you know, when you offend them, they are both offended.
Sure.
That's the relationship of our Lord and our Lady.
Yeah.
And you mentioned those people who were touched, you know, when we have the RV and the beautiful face of our Lady wrapped, you know, on the all three sides, and in the front is the Queen of Peace. You know, whenever we are riding on the expressways or on the roads, we get a lot of honks and thumbs ups or a peace sign, you know, because it's a Queen of Peace. So, and then when we stop, even during at the height of COVID, whenever we would stop, you know, we will take a break, we'll get something from a fast food chain, we will park the RV somewhere, and we will get a lot of people who would kneel down in front of the RV because we have the Blessed Sacrament.
Sure.
Of course, we have the Father Maginot there in the Midwest, and they realize, you know, this is our Lord, and they know that. And they see Our Lady, and they kneel before our Lord and our Lady. And we couldn't always move, you know, when we're about to go, and they're still kneeling, and they're still praying, and, you know, like the guy from New York said, you know, we need Our Lady more than ever. So that's what we're doing. So we're very pleased that A lot of the states are opening up for our statue tours, so we can physically bring the devotion, starting from parishes, and we could be back on the road as normal as we can.
And I'm so glad that we are back on the road. Of course, Texas, now Louisiana, going on to Florida.
We're going to Florida, and we'll be in Wisconsin, be back in the Midwest for, the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of things going on. Those who were more like postponed or canceled in 2020, we make them as our priorities to come back to them. So that's what's happening, and we are very excited. You can learn more. We're talking about this. We're talking about the pledge. We're talking about statue tours. We're talking about our media, the outreach of our ladies, Blue Army. You can go to BlueArmy.com, as we speak. You can join now, join our Ladies Apostolate. Yes, BlueArmy.com, and you'll, a couple of clicks there or a scroll, you can see Join Our Ladies Apostolate. And then you'll see devotions, you'll see the statue tours right in front there. So it's easy to see and be part of this beautiful apostolate for Our Lady of Fatima.
Yeah, especially in this year of St. Joseph, we've got this this first Saturday, our first Saturday devotions have always been very big. But we have a speaker series that's been going on this year throughout with the year of St. Joseph. And we held a conference on May 1st. Virtual, and I think we truly the response has been great. We had some wonderful speakers, Father Calloway, we had Dr. Miravalli,
Father Guffey.
Father Guffey, right.
Family Theater.
And we worked with them in helping promote that beautiful movie, Pray, about Father Patrick Peyton. Mm-hmm. And that always touched me because I grew up in a house where my mother had a little plaque on the wall that said, family that prays together stays together. And it was a beautiful thing. And it's true. And that's why we did pray the family rosary. And I think that is that's important. I mean, in this year of St. Joseph, I think maybe putting things together. I know I spoke at the conference in Green Bay, Wisconsin, virtually, that Bishop Ricken had for the rededication of the Shrine of St. Joseph up there. And we've just been very, very blessed to be part of this. Now, for these coming months, we have a five-part series with Father Hugh Gillespie of the Montfort Fathers. And of course, and really, very, very deep, deep Marian spirituality that he brings. So he brings the spirituality of St. Louis to Montfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, technically, the Montfort Fathers is the Company of Mary.
Company of Mary. That's right.
So, Father Hugh Gillespie will be, our speaker for our part virtual series on the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Yes.
Hope for the world. So,
hope for the world.
Tune in. Log into BlueArmy.com. It's out there. The schedules are posted there, and on our St. Joseph page, you will find a lot of resources, and of course our previous talks, the speakers with Chris Stefanik, Father Calloway, Dr. Miravalli, Devin Schott, and many others. You'll learn. It's free. It's right there. We want you to learn more about the beautiful message of Fatima. And this year, we tied it in with St. Joseph, who is a big part, played a key role in the Holy Family, of course, and even at the Fatima apparition. As we know, October 13th, when Our Lady appeared as Our Lady of Mount Carmel, the Holy Family also appeared. So St. Joseph was there blessing the world with the infant Jesus, with Our Lady.
And we had an icon commissioned early in the year. I want to keep our outreach to the Eastern Church, to the Byzantine Church. We had a beautiful icon that we had commissioned. And when I look at that icon, I see St. Joseph holding a child Jesus as he appeared on the October 13th apparition of Fatima. I think of that phrase, the man that God called Father.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Joseph is so special. Yeah. And there's not a word, a quote of his in Scripture. Nothing he said, as far as I know, is anywhere in Scripture, because he was the silent, strong man. We had our magazine, Soul Magazine, of course, has been around now for 70 years. And our issue at the end of last year was St. Joseph walking Our Lady on the donkey with the child and Saint Joseph carrying, you know, mm-hmm. leading them.
Yeah, leading the way.
Silent, strong Saint Joseph mm-hmm. leading the Holy Family. That defines him. Mm-hmm. Very much defines him as he is the protector of the church. I mean, look at the litany of Saint Joseph and the titles that he has, you know, terror of demons, you know, I mean, you know, patron of the dying. You know, he is the patron of departing souls, and boy, have that devotion so he can be with you in those last moments, just like Christ and Our Lady were with him in his last moments. So we have to take another break here, and when we come back, I'd like to wrap it up, talk about our scheduling, talk about how you could maybe get more involved in or be a part of what we're doing, and just talk a little bit about the great things that are coming around even in Chicago related to our work. So I'm David Carollo, sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the 3 pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And the shows always go fast, especially when you have guests you can interact with. You know, mm-hmm. it's great. But, you know, so excited about everything going on at St. Stan's right now. And yesterday I had Father Joshua Caswell on there. Of course, the canons of St. John Cantius are now grouped in at the 3 parishes, Holy Trinity, St. John's, and St. Stan's are grouped into one parish grouping, and I think that's beautiful. Our Lady's Triangle, they're calling it, and I think it's so much, and I think we're going to see a whole lot more of this kind of devotion, and we will be a big part of it with the parishes, you know, maybe really, really, really bringing that faith, you know, the Marian devotion to these parishes that have always been so welcoming, you know, and St. Stan's is the foundational parish of all of the Polish churches in Chicago, and I'm so happy it just remains such a strong light, especially with perpetual adoration, and that is the key. We're going to win this world back by devotion to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and you know, the Fatima message. The Fatima message is about reparation, Eucharistic reparation. That is the key to the message of Fatima. You know, and that is truly what it's all about. That's what was given to us. So again, as I say, the Fatima message has nothing new in it. It's devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, focusing on the Sacred Heart of Jesus and His presence in the Blessed Sacrament. And that's what we promote here. I mean, we work with the other organizations. We have that beautiful display from the John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Organization, as well as the Real Presence Association. And that beautiful display of all the Eucharistic miracles is just spectacular. And we have that, and we move that around a little bit too. And of course, it's all part of our mission. to bring about. And here, you know, and out at the Blue Army Shrine, we have some priests that support it so well, especially with the young children. I mean, it's so nice to see. So, but Patrick, you know, obviously we have the beautiful International Pilgrim Virgin statue. We have the National Pilgrim Virgin statue, which, by the way, we will have in Chicago the week after next for the Catholic Marketing Network.
Yeah.
We'll be there as part of it, and I'll be speaking at one of the events, and we'll be bringing the bringing Our Lady's presence, I guess we can say, you know. And it'll be in the Perpetual Adoration Chapel, Adoration Chapel that will be on during the conference. So
yeah, that's the two pillars, you know, Lord and Our Lady, you know, with the Eucharist and Our Lady being there. So you can't go wrong with that. No. So yeah, we have the International still, you know, now traveling to, like I said, we'll be in New Orleans as we speak. We will be going to the Diocese of Lake Charles, again in Louisiana, and Lafayette in Louisiana. And then after that, we'll be going to parts of Wisconsin. We'll be in Lafayette in Indiana. And then, I forgot, we'll be in Tampa, St. Petersburg Diocese in Florida. So a lot of things are happening. And then we have some weekenders with the National Pilgrim Virgin Statue. You know, we have, you know, we're getting more and more requests. So if you would like to host Our Lady, you know, go to the website, bluearmy.com. You'll see the statue tours there. Or you can email me at psabat@bluearmy.com.
Repeat it.
So psabat, P as in Patrick, Sabat is my last name, S-A-B-A-T, psabat@bluearmy.com. Or go to bluearmy.com and click on the statue tours. And we would be really honored to make you part of this historic journey and bringing the message of peace. You know, it's very optimistic, the message of Fatima. Yes. Even in times of darkness, which we all experience, you know, even some personal darkness or spiritual dryness in our lives, and even the world we're living in today, we need more of Our Lady. It is very timely, you know. You never say, "Oh yeah, I'll need her," you know, when I need her. But I think this is the right time to propagate this very optimistic, positive message of Our Lady.
There are so many things out there now that no one would ever believe would have been in our face. Okay, they would have been, and so strongly become part of our society, unfortunately. Mm. But that's where we go. As we digress, we are digressing as a society. Thank you for being with us today on Winds of Change. I think we might have had a little technical glitch there for a minute, but we're here, we're back. And as I was saying, the message, the work that we're working on, we want people to come back, be part of the you know, like our apostolate. But you know, I look forward to maybe the things that are going to be coming in Chicago. I see again with the with Our Lady's triangle over there, with St. Stan's and St. John's and Holy Trinity, and our apostolate is going to be a big part of the things that are going on up there. You know, I recall the beautiful procession we had on in 2017 when we traveled from I think it was St. John, Kansas. We went west with the beautiful image of Our Lady to Eckerd Park in that area, and you know, we brought this beautiful statue to a broken part of the city. And then in 2019, we were with Kevin Matthews and the image of Broken Mary. And we went from there east to the water tower. We brought the broken statue to the beautiful part of the city. So I think that was something. It was a statement. We're so honored to be part of it. And I think that's, you know, Patrick, I mean, I know more, but maybe explain more to the people about if they want to become part of, may not have heard what we were talking about before.
Yeah, of course. You know, we encourage everyone. We would be honored to bring Our Lady's message to you, the statue, the International Pilgrim Statue. Of course, the National Pilgrim Statue has been traveling also here in the United States on the weekend. You know, we were getting more and more requests. But if you would like to host Our Lady in your parish or in your diocese, you can email me at psabat@bluearmy.com. Again, it's psabat@bluearmy.com. Or go to bluearmy.com, click on the statue tours. It's easy to see all the information that you need. Go to statue tours under bluearmy.com, and you will see and find the history of the statues that we have. Very historic. And let's talk about it, okay? Talk about bringing Our Lady's statue. Of course, this is a whole program. It's not simply, you know, we will not make your church as a museum where we will simply display the statue, but comes with the statue is the program of spreading the message of Our Lady of Fatima, and this is a vehicle to establish in the word devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Yeah, and again, I think St. Stan's is such a perfect place for it because of the the adoration, perpetual adoration. You know, prayer will solve the issues of the world. And I think people, you know, people are very discouraged right now. And I think many people, especially, you know, with the pro-life movement and all that, they say, my God, all this work, and, you know, and they're disheartened at what's happening. You know, setbacks are part of any struggle. Okay, so you cannot give up. And maybe we're being tested by God. Okay, all right, now you were flowing along with things going in your direction. Now all of a sudden it's not happening too much. What are you going to do? Are you going to still continue? Or are you going to give up the ghost and walk away from it? And I think that's the scary part of this. You know, people, we're being tested. Are we going to be here to the end? Are we going to persevere? Because that's really what it comes down. We need to persevere till the end.
Mm-hmm. Just like Elijah, you know, are we going to just not going to do anything? You know, we are under attack. Again, this is we have to fight this, you know, based on our sinfulness, our nothingness, despite ourselves, we have Our Lady, you know, who is so full of praise. We have our Lord who will guide us, who will lead us into this battle. Like we always say, you know, the battle for individual, but the war has been won by our Lord, you know. It's a fact.
The devil has its time, but God will have his day, and that's what it's all about. Right. So anyway, well, thank you for being here today. Again, I'm David Carollo, and for more information on our apostolate, go to bluearmy.com. Thank you, and God bless you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become so obscure?